Hey guys, I'm Wendy, this is Chris, and welcome to an intro from us. It's rare.
Did we welcome to intros?
We are now, yeah. So I think this is our second ever intro.
Yes, it is.
And we want to start doing more of these. We want to be able to connect with you and say hey before we do a podcast. So,
well, we haven't been doing ramblings lately. We've been doing all interviews.
Yeah, so. Mostly at the lounge at the end of the universe, and this one is...
Mixed and misidentified comedy show.
What
means that everyone in it is of mixed race and they are frequently misidentified.
Yes, it was really awesome.
And we also have Jackie Pearl in there from the WAP show, which is the Women Are Funny with a PH.
PHUNNY. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we ended up, we started out this interview. It's just Sharita and Tina Towns. Tina is a local comedian from the Boise area here. Sharita's from El Paso. It just started out with those two. That's all we thought we were going to have on there.
And then slowly.
Then chaos ensued.
More comics.
Yes.
Trickled in from Soup Man Productions. We had Dante. We had... LJ Sullivan. Soup Man is from the Seattle area. LJ lives here. Comedian. Mm-hmm. We had Debbie Wooten,
Jackie Pearl, Tina Town, Sharita, Dante,
Joey.
Barnett, Joey Gomez, and LJ Sullivan.
Yeah, in a very small room.
Yes, everybody.
And somehow, as they kept coming in and it was loud and everybody's laughing, Chris is like, this is going to be an editing nightmare.
And it was, yes.
I think it turned out great.
It ended up, yeah, but I had to kind of just say, fuck it. And
talking at the same time. Is that the hard part?
No. It was just isolating everyone's sound, getting, you know, there's a part where some static comes in and I don't know why. I have to remove that.
Yeah.
All the different camera switches in it. We were running two cameras and just for every person it switched to, you know, that's more work.
Yeah. At one point, LJ comes in, sits right in front of the camera that is in front of us
with
now.
With his big afro.
He has a big afro, and then he turns around. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that part's funny. So having the two cameras was really nice because you really got a better perspective. You can see everyone better.
Could zoom in.
You have a better shot of the person talking. So it was nice and... Using some new editing skills that making it,
And another cue is, if you don't already know, we are officially the podcasters of the Lounge at the End of the Universe.
The official podcast of the Lounge at the End of the Universe.
In Boise, Idaho. So that's exciting. And we are getting to interview podcast with the entertainers, the comedians.
Everyone, pretty much anyone we want to come through there. So super cool opportunity. Thank you, Lounge at the End of the Universe,
so
and Jen and Coral,
very
and Monica, and all the people down there.
And so the next one coming out is the Pun Slam. That was really fun.
Yeah, Idaho Pun Slam, which was a few weeks ago. We've been a little behind. We've been super busy. So this Mixed and Misidentified was... recorded a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Then the Pun Slam. We're also working on the final episode from Love You Mom, an Alzheimer's story that as soon as we put it out on its own podcast network, we're going to put it on Toasted Marshmallow Adventures so you can all listen and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Also check out... Not everyone gets a trophy from Toasted Marshmallow Adventure Studio.
Because we are now into production.
Yeah, we're doing full service podcast production.
Yes.
So go to our website to schedule a time, toastedmarshmallowadventures.com. You can schedule a studio time or a free consultation.
With the two of us.
Yes.
That could be fun.
Or scary.
So let's wrap this up. But thank you guys so much for watching, listening, telling your friends, sharing, following, doing all the things, leaving comments. It helps us so much, and we're so appreciative. So with that, shall we sign off?
Enjoy the episode.
Yeah. Thanks a bunch. Peace out.
the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures podcast. Today on the show, oh yeah, we don't have our hype button. We're at the lounge at the end of the universe. We've got Tina Towns and Sharita.
Yes,
both
thank
here
you.
For the Mixed and Misidentified comedy show yes. put on by Soupman 206.
Yes.
So awesome. Tina, we've had you on before.
Yep.
Good. Now you're on video.
Finally,
you're
going to be on YouTube.
You get to see the homie.
I know. I wish I should have had a third camera here, but so I'm sorry.
Dang, it's all good.
Yeah. So
we can flip it occasionally, right?
We could. Yeah. 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 Oh, what do we got?
We're going to be giving these away at the first show, the Misidentified show. There you are, passes to the Welcome to Oasis Music Festival.
Okay.
Ooh.
We're giving.
Yeah, we're going to give them at the very end. Everybody that comes to the show for the Misidentified gets
tickets.
Drawing at the end of the show, we'll draw and they'll get the passes there. $300 value.
Nice.
All right. Well, maybe when you go live, we'll mention that.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. So, Mixed and Misidentified comedy show. First,
here for it.
Sharita.
Yes.
Where are you from?
I am originally from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn.
But I am an El Paso-based comic because that's where I started my comedy career.
Okay.
So when I was 21 years old, I had the bright idea of joining the United States Army. Mm-hmm. I served 22 years. I enjoy
wow.
it. And most people are like, what are you going to do when you get out the Army? And I was like, nothing. I'm going to sit on my couch.
Yeah.
And I became a comic instead.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how'd that process go?
It's weird. You start out by going to the local comedy club because you just go in there for entertainment. You're not mm-hmm. thinking I'm going to meet anybody there. So I'm hanging out. I was coming to the shows. And what they do is they let veterans in for free on Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. So you come with or active duty. So you go, show your military ID card, get free tickets, hang out. And then I started hanging out with the comics and getting to know them. And one day someone was like, you too can do this. And I was like, stop playing. So I was dared into open mic and performing. Of course, my first year of comedy, I sucked.
Yeah.
Sucked. Like,
well,
what?
That's part of it, right?
Yes, because yeah. it's like, I got to tell a joke, stand on stage, look like I'm having fun.
Yeah. Breathe.
What? Yes. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. And then being a New Yorker, I already talk fast. So can you imagine being nervous? Oh, I'm sounding like Speedy Gonzalez talking like a mile a minute. I'm on crack. So I had to learn how to slow down and enunciate. And then have patience. Let the audience clap. Because they're like, she said something, I don't know, just clap. So I was getting sympathy claps. But no, 5 years in, I'm still going.
Wow,
so
nice.
So it's been a pleasure and honor, all the big words, because you meet in people that are just starting out, people that have been doing it for years, and you meet famous people too, that I'm sharing a stage with famous people.
Yeah,
oh,
crazy.
Crazy.
Who have you met?
Oh, Shang Forbes, if you know him from the Def Comedy World.
Shang Forbes?
Yes,
no,
Shang.
I don't know him.
Oh, really? From Def Comedy Jam.
Oh, okay.
From way back in the day, BET Comic View. He's been on that one. DJ Ashba from 6 a.m. and Guns N' Roses guitarist. I love that.
Wow.
Yes. He's following me. Like Adelaide's Way is following me on Twitter. So like, you go to shows and people are like, oh my gosh, I want to be your friend. I'm like, I want to be your friend. You know? So I was like, yes. And it's like, and it's cool because the comedy world and the music world are interchangeable.
Yeah.
Because we're all entertainers and we're all trying to entertain each other. So it's like, we want to like have fun. Enjoy the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
I hope I wasn't supposed to name drop. I don't know. So.
No.
No.
Go for it.
We will hashtag all those
names. Yes. 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 Butch Bradley. I mean, there's just so many people that you meet in the comedy world.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome. That's cool. What have you been up to lately, Tina? You've been doing like shows. Tell us. Give us an update.
So I've just been working a lot.
Yeah.
I'm still at a gas station, but it's a lot of comedy fodder.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
sure.
with, like, COVID and stuff. Yeah. Oh, my God. The customers are so awful.
Yeah.
I'm not even ashamed to say this. Meridian folk are the worst.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, second worst. Eagle are the worst.
Eagle's the worst.
Because Meridian folk are, like, think they're too good to be considered Boise folk, but they're not rich enough to be considered Eagle folk. And everyone's just awful. Because I'm on the cusp of Boise and Meridian, so I get both.
Yeah.
I ran in at one point. Oh, it was when Peyton's car died. We think Tina works at this one. I ran in and looked around for you.
At the one on Orchard over here in Boise?
I think I covered there once. Yeah.
Like, I think Tina works at this one.
We'll go say hi. Yeah. You were there.
Because her car broke down close to the Maverick. Yeah. So, awesome. So, have you ever been to Idaho before?
This is my first time.
Oh, okay. What do you think?
I like it.
You can be honest.
Oh, well, okay. Since you said
honest,
so
we know how I know.
Okay, because I got here and I didn't know I was walking through the Museum of Natural History. Everybody stared at me like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I don't live here. I'm leaving. I'm only here for the weekend. Please don't kill me. You know, I'm just here to see the sights, entertain you, and I'm going home. All right. So they're just like, oh my gosh. Like, and then I was like, you don't have other colored folks here?
No, it's just they're so trained and used to seeing me and LJ.
Okay, because
they were just like, who's she?
Right.
She's new. Like, there's more.
So
I wasn't sure. I would smile away.
Oh, good.
Smile away. And then I got comfortable. I'm like, hey, I'm here for a comedy show. What about you? They're like, oh, yeah. So I just started pitching a comedy show. I'm like, hey, we're going to be at the lounge, so you might as well just come out, see what I do, and then you can judge me properly.
Right.
Better, right? Yes. And it worked. So oh, people cool. have been coming in. They're like, oh, can I follow you on Facebook and Instagram? Yeah, you know, we could be strangers still.
Oh, nice.
And it's been working.
Yeah, good.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
So you said you're in El Paso, right? Is there a lot of comedy clubs there?
No, right now we only have the one. We have the El Paso Comic Strip. Mm-hmm. And the comedy club that's about to come, it's Crack Me Up Comedy Club by mm-hmm. Tommy Black. So he's still in the works of getting that up and running. And then we'll have two comedy clubs in El Paso.
Awesome. How big is El Paso?
I don't know.
Is it close to Austin? Because Austin is...
Actually, we're 8 hours away from... So we're really next to Mexico. When they say the sister city of Juarez, Mexico, we're literally on the tip of El Paso. Well, Texas. So it's like you're leaving to go to New Mexico? El Paso. So I was like, oh, no, I'm not from there. I can't tell you like the population. I don't know.
Well, we've heard a lot of people moving to... Austin, including Casey Rockett.
Yeah, Casey Rockett, Derek Hayden.
Oh, did he go?
Also?
Yeah. Montana Burke backed out.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just keep, you don't have to wear those if you don't look at them.
Yeah. I was getting
static in mine, so I took them off.
Oh, okay. We were trying to be all professional.
I think as long as the levels are good, I checked them. I think my connections are bad. I got to buy more expensive ones.
Oh!
Yeah. So, what do we got going on? So, is it... easy to get stage time in El Paso? Or?
It is. I am one of four producers. I produce my own shows as well. I produce two open mics on Wednesday night at Foul Mouse, and Thursday night we're at the Pershing Inn, which is outside patio, and it's open to all talent. So not just comedians. So if you play in a band, you're a solo artist, you're a poet, we like poetry. We like a little bit of everything in the open mic scene. And then I also produce the book shows, showcases, because we have comics that are just brand new starting, and they think that the open mics are just it. I'm like, no, open mics is the start. You get your feel for it, and then you start getting your book shows. You start going on tour if you choose to, and you network with other comics. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. And then, unfortunately, what happened was if you're not getting booked for shows as much as you would like to, that's when you become a producer.
Right.
So... But,
and so then the clubs pay you to produce a show?
No. What we do is I work with the venue. So I'm not working with the clubs because the clubs have their own clientele of comics that they already work with that I can't afford. I'm not on that level. So what I do is I work with different venues and areas. So it might be a bar. It might be an actual place that has a stage. And what we talk about is if you have a bar, you get the food and beverage sales and I get the ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So I sell tickets on Eventbrite and tickets at the door because some people don't like swiping a card online, which is understandable. So I pay my comics from the ticket sales, so they're making money as well.
Oh, nice.
And whatever's left over, if I make something cool, if I don't, I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the networking and just because the general love of comedy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I don't know, most people are like that. Oh, are we allowed to curse? Most people are like, that's a bullshit answer. No, it's not. It's like I said, I'm 5 years in. I'm still considered a baby.
Yeah.
So if you're doing it for money, good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck. I mean, have I gotten paid? Yes, I'm fortunate enough. But at the same time, you have to let the comics grow. Mm-hmm. And if they don't know, if you're not giving them that outlet, that venue, how are they supposed to go?
Yeah.
You know? But just to put like a couple bucks in a comic's hand that's never gotten paid to do comedy before, and they light up.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is the big time. I'm in the big leagues. I'm a real comedian now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I got to really write some material, really work on my timing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you think they would take the comedy more with more dignity and respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Come How up long with have you been in?
On and off since August 2017.
Oh, okay.
Like, the day I started was the solar eclipse.
Oh. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
That is the only way I know, like, when I started.
I was out driving Uber at the time. When I turned it off so I can watch it a little bit.
Yeah, and then, like, a month into it, I was invited to do, like, a joke 'em if you got 'em comedy, contest. And I won the first time I did it. but that's because I was called a bringer. I had like 20 people in the crowd.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Half the crowd were you my friends because they were like, we haven't seen you yet. And I was like, y'all owe me favors.
There you go.
But then I won like a second time a few weeks later at that show. And I only had 2 people in the crowd, so I was like a genuine crowd favorite, so that was fun.
Yeah.
I actually just produced a show with Reese Samuels and LJ Sullivan at Brother Brown's Underground. We called it Underground Comedy. It's off of Idaho and 12th. It's in the basement of the Elcor Shriners building. And yeah, it was pretty fun. He allowed us the space as long as he sold like 25 plates. And it was a fun show. We had Jeremy Nelson, Tanya Cope, Kat Lizaraga. It was just a fun bunch of local comics.
Awesome.
So, did you sell 25 plates?
Oh, yeah. Almost everyone who came and bought a plate.
Nice.
So,
great.
So it was, he just won kind of the advertisement for his restaurant. So it was a win-win situation.
Exactly.
Wish we had some of those plates right now. I'm starving.
Oh, we were at Soul Food Festival, and I was in his line. Yeah. I waited for an hour just to get some ribs.
Really?
Wow. And it was worth it because he gave me the biggest ribs. Yes! Like, gave me the good cuts. Right.
I didn't get to experience that. I'm sorry.
Awesome. Let's talk about bombing on stage.
Ooh.
What about you, Sharita?
Yes, you bomb on stage. You feel it. It's in the universe. It's in the atmosphere. Real, and you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you're either going to...
Painful, right?
What? You talking about, can I find a hole and just dive in? Can I turn into an ostrich right now? So you learn quickly to recover. And that shows your skill level. If you can recover during a bomb and or worse, crowd work, like you run out of jokes or your jokes are not hitting and you start doing crowd work. And if the crowd is funnier than you, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Right.
So, and the first time I bombed, I was just like, Vegas, am I right? I didn't know what to do. I'm just standing here. So it took me a while. So now I don't bomb as bad. Now if I bomb, it's mostly you're saying something we don't relate to. And that's understandable. That's okay. Because I have to remember my comedy is not going to be for everybody.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
But at least I got up there and I did my whatever time, my like 5, 10 minutes, 15, whatever. I did it. You know. So, whoo. But, ooh. You talking about sweating.
Yeah. Like, when it's just dead silent.
Oh, it's degree rough.
Don't work on me no more. So I was like,
how bad?
Oh, gosh. I remember like one of the first major times I bombed was at an open mic at Mad Sweet downtown. The audience was just not reactive. No, it wasn't an open mic. It was at a Juneteenth show. And they were just not reacting at all. And I was just like, you don't like that. All right, let's try this. Oh, no. Okay. This? Damn,
you go through your Rolodex
you
of jokes.
Like?
I'm going to get you out with something.
Do you like Disney jokes? No. Damn. You know what? Can I just go home now? Like, they just did not react at all. And, like, seeing Chris Shaw have to, like, deal with this crowd with no reaction, with the exception of, like, one guy, like, heckling every once in a while. And it was at the weirdest parts, too. Be, like, in the transitions, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Really?
How's that? And it's like, wow. Bro.
And then sometimes when you're thinking you're bombing, you're not. They will come up to you after the show and tell you, you did great. And I'm like, but your face. You stared at me like I like slapped your mom. Like, I couldn't tell. Right? So it's like.
And what we've heard is like the whole audience can be laughing, but the one person that isn't is who you guys are like, I got to get that person.
I don't
laugh.
Do that.
Oh, good.
I don't
think
do
that.
That
can drive me crazy.
Yes. Yes. I put my attention towards the people that are paying me attention.
Yeah.
Because. If that's that one person, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's in their mind. They might be spacing out for something because we all go through something.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you come into a comedy show to relieve some stress, have a good time, hang out with your friends. And something might have hit you right before you sat down.
Yeah.
So I don't bother that person. Everybody else is paying attention. I'm like, here's a joke for you. Here's a joke for you. Let's do this. And you just hope for the best for that night.
Yeah. How do you deal with hecklers?
It depends, like. I think the weirdest interaction I've had, again, Juneteenth. I don't know what's up with Juneteenth, but I had this one lady at the first show, and I was talking about my youth group because church is fun, and it was about my labor auction joke. And she's like, yes. Oh, they are so fun. Like, I love doing them. And I was just like, I don't know how to respond to that. Because in my brain, I was just like, you should be like, oh, so you're a seller. Yeah. And then the other part was like, no, don't. God knows what rabbit hole you're about to enter if you do engage. Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time, I don't even notice them.
Really?
Yeah, because like, my brain is just so focused on, oh, they laughed, and won't hear outside noise. Yeah.
Oh, that's helpful.
Like, I'm just listening for the laughs.
Yeah.
It's that tunnel vision.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes I'll try to listen to see if someone responds, but more often than not, I'm just like, nah, I'm just going to go with what I feel the room is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been at shows where it's like the heckler just completely throws off the comedian, mm-hmm. and it's like they have to restart or like gather themselves. It just stinks as an audience member.
Yeah, like one of the harder ones I had to work with was at that underground show, mm-hmm. and he was at the front, big old group of like 7 people.
Yeah,
and he was just like all the time to anyone on the show. Mm-hmm. And, like, Taco had a hard time with him because of her jokes. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be fun. That's and
Tanya Cope.
Yeah, Tanya Cope. Sorry. I don't know why. but, yeah, so I was doing my joke about Black Tina, Asian Tina. Mm. And who's the racist? And he was like, harumph. And I was like, found him. And then just went off with it. And then I just did not make eye contact with that table the rest of the night.
That would have ruined their life.
Yeah. Because I knew, like those their angry faces might have been like, oh, I'm so self-conscious now.
Right. No, hecklers. I find that hecklers, they're not brave enough to do what we do. They're not going to get on stage, but they want the attention.
Yep.
Yeah,
and some of them, I hate it. It sounds like I'm picking on the guys. But usually if the guy's on a date, he's trying to like look cool for the girl. Yeah. And like, you're losing bad, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to be on her side.
Right.
And I'm going to take her out.
Yep.
So you really want to do this?
We can go.
Yes. And for the female hecklers, again, same thing. Reverse. They want all the attention. Mm-hmm. And they're so used to getting attention. And I'm going to have to pull that card. I'm like, sweetheart.
Yeah.
We really want to go there.
Yeah.
But it helps build that confidence level. Because a lot of people that are comics, they're self-conscious. I'm shy. Mm-hmm. I'm really shy. But on stage, I have to put my persona on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I actually really hate speaking in front of people. Mm-hmm. So this is just what would I want to do?
Right.
This, is
like,
this is our most extroverted thing we do. You know?
Well, I mean, I was super hesitant to kind of do the podcast the first time because it's like, I don't know these people. This was in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I was just like, I might die.
She came to your house not knowing us.
Okay. Yeah, and I was like, sure, why not? I'm sure someone else will do it.
I think you were like one of the first people.
Yeah, and then he had hospital bags on.
Oh yeah,
he had hospital bags on him, hanging up. And the dog, the dog was chill. I was like, okay, the dog's not like freaking out, so I trust the dog that I shouldn't get killed.
Right, like
a little pit bull.
Yeah, a little pit bull, but never little.
She was
not with us anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah. It's like 15. I know.
But yeah, like Wendy offered me a drink, and I was like, "She got a roofie."
Right. Oh, geez. Want to listen up? Right. You're gonna kill me.
Right. Like we actually have equipment.
Because like I tried to like I Google Maps their location. I was like, "Oh, it's not like a studio. It's the Airbnb. House. What the hell?"
Yeah. Oh yeah, we were renting a room out in our house at the time on Booking. Yeah, Booking.com. Right. So.
But she's alive and well.
Yes,
it's true.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now we've all our podcast stuff. After my daughter moved out, we have like a studio now and there that we made up.
Yeah,
which is
it's not in the front
cool.
living room.
No, not in the living room anymore.
Cars.
You'll have to go down a scary hallway. Though.
Oh man, as long as a Keurig's in that guest room still, I'm okay.
Oh yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, all this stuff's still in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Is there anything either of you won't joke about on stage?
With me still being in the military, I will stay away. I do military jokes, but I stay away from politics.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have to still be careful of what I say because I am still punishable by the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is the UCMJ. So my livelihood depends on my career. So I have to be careful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could take a joke. but I have to be careful with the type of jokes I do. Mm-hmm. And then I have to be careful being on stage, how I present myself. So what I wear, what I talk about. Because anybody in the show, in the audience, can be filming you at any given time.
Gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you put
and
that
with
out.
Cancel culture.
Yes.
Stuff.
Yeah. And they can sit there and edit it and of twist course. It. And you're standing there like, oh, I'm going to jump no more. I don't know.
Wow.
You know, so I'm very careful with that. But with the Mix and Misidentify, I'm just starting to talk about race. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But again, it's me, not you.
Right.
Like, my experiences with race. And I just started slowly talking about the military jokes again. To me, mm-hmm. but I do not represent the military in any form or fashion. I'm just a soldier, a single mom, and that's it. So
right.
I just talk about stuff that's relative to me.
Yeah,
and play it safe.
Yeah, I usually just talk about anything I've experienced personally. I don't like some people be like, oh, you should talk about your exes. I was like, if it's relating to the joke, sure. Other than that, I leave most things out. I don't say my work names directly. Mm-hmm. I'll use their slogans.
Oh yeah.
And, which is funny because like all the higher ups found out I was a comic. They're like, oh, you should like some of us like corporate's in town. And so I've just been avoided like being near the counter because they've been hitting all the stores. I was like, I hope they don't come in. Like I took down the posters today. I was like, I don't need them coming in today and seeing like a poster coming in and be like, you used our slogan.
But I'm bringing you business though.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. It, which is funny because a lot of people have been coming to my Maverick and be like, hey, you should have showed. I was like, are you buying something at least?
Yeah. I just want to use the restroom.
Yeah. But, I usually just try not to, like, speak directly of, like, I don't name names for shitty bosses.
Yeah.
Like, I think I do name drop Popeyes.
Oh,
we do. But it's because it was, like, a fun first job. It wasn't, like, an awful first job, per se. I mean, it was awful, but, like, it wasn't... It wasn't so bad that I was just like, oh, I just want them to, like, crash and burn. Like, some places.
Yeah, you wouldn't mind if they crashed and burned.
Oh, so gosh, going, yeah.
I'm sure.
Like, you know, like a certain Hotel May with a number. I mean, with how many dead bodies?
But
yeah. Well, where else are you supposed to leave a dead body?
Right. Not at a cheap motel. Like, if you're gonna do it, at least get the ritziest room in town.
But have you
to
not,
leave the bill for your family?
But have you not seen the horror movies? They're always at a cheesy motel.
They are.
They have to keep with the genre.
At least do it at a mom and pop's place.
Okay.
You know, then it's not like franchise. Then it's like legit, like niche. Niche murders.
Niche murders.
So are you guys nervous for the show tonight, or do you get nervous prior to going on?
Yes. So I'm always excited to be on the show because I'm grateful to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And right before you get on, you look at the crowd, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many of them. And then I start getting nervous.
What does that look like? For me, it's clammy hands.
Clammy. Oh, my glands. Yeah. I'm sweating again. My degree left me.
Yeah.
I'm shaking like a leaf in January. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm fine. Sometimes I'll have the butterflies in the stomach nervousness, mm-hmm. that kind of. And then I'm like going over my head like, this joke's not going to work. This joke's not going to work. And then as soon as I hit the stage, it goes away.
Oh, nice.
It goes away. It's weird.
It's a calm.
Yes.
Of.
Wow. Yes. And I only do better shows that I'm not nervous at, which is like, I guess, superstition.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not nervous, you're not doing something right.
Right.
So you want to go out there, do your best, entertain the crowd. But I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I back out? No. Oh, it's my turn? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I pace and I'm just like, what am I going to do? Why did I not like play in a set?
So you don't?
I usually don't. Like, I have like my jokes clustered and I'll just kind of be like, oh, what topics do I want to talk about? Which I should probably just write out like, oh, these are the jokes that I want to, so I can reference easier instead of like, flip. Oh, God. Which ones?
Panic.
Yeah, and then I'll go look at the crowd. Like, last night, the stage setup was different downstairs than what I've seen. So I was just like, oh, no. And I was like, okay. And it was like, heard my name.
It's like, you're
and
wrong.
Then, like, sometimes it doesn't even leave me until I know I've messed up. And it's like, okay, it happened. Let's go. Let's finish this.
Mm-hmm. That's great. No, I have my set list. I make sure that I have the jokes that I want to do. And then, like... I have my like, oh shit moments. I'm like, all right, crowd work. But I try to stay away from crowd work because it seems like people judge you. Like the more crowd work you do, they're like, oh, yes, because they're like, oh, so you don't have no jokes or you didn't prepare your set. So it's like, you just be careful with the crowd work. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, so you want to invite the crowd into your home. Like, hey, the stage is my home. Welcome to my home.
Yeah, and like, this I feel like crowd work can supplement the joke in itself.
Or save your set.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. Yeah, we were just at a show in Reno where every person that came up did crowd work at the end, and we figured it was because the crowd was so quiet and they were trying to up the energy to like get us involved.
It's Whitney Cummings.
Yes.
In Reno, yeah.
And you,
Taylor Thomas.
Right, and you'd be shocked because like it's like they're super famous comics, so you're thinking, oh, they can hold a room no problem.
Yeah.
No,
it you could feel it when it kind of left the audience, the energy.
We weren't that impressed with that show.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we go on tonight, at the end of the Mixed and Misidentified show, they're going to be giving away 2 tickets to the Oasis Music Festival. So come on down.
What was the value?
They are $150 a piece.
Holy crap.
$300 in tickets. 3-day event.
Wow.
I don't know where it is. It doesn't say, but
it's in Mountain Home.
Come on down.
The lounge.
You're going to win a pair of tickets.
Woohoo.
Yes, so
I love me some
sweet
music.
Yeah, free stuff.
Yes,
not Mountain Home, not worth it. Oh,
well,
that's where our Air Force base is, so it's base town basically.
Go Army, be Navy, because they share the base with the Air Force.
You How do you get time up. Off to come do this stuff? Do you have to put in leave, and or do you just? We'll cut this out.
No. I'll tell you. So what happened was. I have to translate this to civilian talk. Yeah. So I did 18 years active duty service, and I hit the RCP, retention control point, which meant as an E5, you cannot stay in the Army past 15 years. You have to get promoted. I didn't get promoted in that time. So they switched me over to the reserves. So I've been in reserves since 2017. So I have 5 years with the reserves, and then I got promoted. So that's how. So reserves, 1 week in a month, 2 weeks out of the year.
Awesome.
So it worked out. It worked itself out. Mm-hmm. So now, unfortunately, like this weekend, I was supposed to be at drill. They just told me. I was like, I'm not in town. So they're like, oh, don't worry about it. As long as you're alive. Nice. So I've told many people in my unit that, hey, I'm a comic. And they're like, are you good? Come to the show. Yes, I'm good.
Yeah. Pay me.
Yes. They're paying me to tell jokes. Yeah. Yes. Come out here. Right. So on the reserve side of the house, yes. But we have some active duty soldiers that do comedy. And you let them know when you're going to be. And they try to work with your schedule. Okay. Now, you got to remember, though, the Army's first. And comedy, it doesn't really count. It's like, hey, no, you signed up. You'll be.
Yeah.
So it works. So I'm grateful that on the reserve side, my comedy career kicked off.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm also too stupid to turn in a retirement packet because I'm like 22 years in. They're like, you know, retirement's at 20. I was like, yeah, I know.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And I'm still in because I'm like, I don't know if I want to get out yet.
Yeah.
You know,
this is my bread and butter. It helps me take care of my children. And the benefits, of course, are like lovely.
Yeah.
So it's like, and then I joined Army when I was 21. So I grew up in the military, so this is like all I know.
Yeah.
So for me to get out and just get a job, I'm like, man, I gotta listen to somebody else. No.
Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Used to listening to them, right?
Right, but it's a different kind of listening. They yell at you. You're like, all right, calm down.
Yeah, like
somebody else yells at me.
I have a cousin who's in the Air Force, and she's taking courses for just normal HR through like call it with the GI Bill, because she's just like, I do HR military, civilian HR makes no sense.
Yes.
Because she's just like, it's. My resume has like 25 years gap.
Yeah.
From like high school. So what do I tell them?
Yeah.
So what are your, let's start with you, Sharita, and then we'll ask you, Tina, your goals as a comedian. I mean, is that your end goal to be famous or?
Not so much as famous. My goal is just to make sure that I'm successful at it. Like I'm making people laugh. Yeah. I'm inspiring people to, would never think. You have a lot of people that love comedy, and for them to sit there and say, I want to go to open mic and get on stage. Mm-hmm. What? Yes. We inspired a lady last night. She said, like, I'm going to the next open mic. I said, I won't be here for that because I don't live here. But yes, girl, do it.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, there's not that many female comics.
Yeah.
Because the way that the culture is in the comedy world, not a lot of
boys club.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's like, you know, I got a dick. I was like, I've had dick. So, you know, you got to like find your way in there, you know? So, and that's what I do. I just go, and that's my goal, just to be funny and entertain people. Because if you put too much into it and it doesn't work out, then you're disappointed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like high school. What are your short-term and long-term goals? Survive. You know? Let's just start with that.
Yeah.
So that way you take out the disappointment. So if it doesn't go your way, you tried it and you had fun and you move on.
Yeah.
So that's
and all. You're meeting cool people.
What? The networking? Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's why we love doing this. We've met a lot of cool people. Yes. And we plan to meet more.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're saying they might be bringing like Wanda Sykes or Sarah Silverman here.
That would be awesome.
They said we can probably get them on the podcast with you. So I was like, sweet. Yeah. So what about you?
This is just merely a hobby for me. Like, my goal is to get good enough that Alvin Williams has to actually hold his end of the bet, which is if I come out with an album by like 2025. He has to buy me Nikes, like brand new Nikes.
He's the shoe guy.
Yeah. Oh, and he's just like, if you have a solid like hour album, I was like, deal. Save now.
Some Jordans or what?
I don't know.
I know because I watched
I might find like the bougiest
times.
Ones that I will never wear. Just be like, here's the most expensive pair that come in my size. Okay. But I mean, like, I started this out of pure spite.
I remember the story, yes.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. Okay, so my ex was a comic as well, and a lot of his friends told me I was funny, so I was like, okay, I'll do an open mic, and he heard a rumor of a joke, which he made it feel like it was about himself, but it wasn't, so I was like, you know what? And he sent me a 13-part text message about, like, how he was going to sue me for libel and, like, defamation of character. And I was mad because I lost the game of whoever looks at their cell phone pays for the phone bill, for the dinner bill. And I was with 15 friends. So, of course, I was mad. And then I was like, guys, we're going to this open mic on Monday, which was a solar eclipse. And I did my 3 minutes. And I just stared him in the eyes the entire time. And then I just kept going until, like, I made him so uncomfortable he left. Like, I know that's so low and spiteful, but I was just like,
Yeah. That's why they say...
Don't put words in my mouth.
Right. That's why they say don't date comics.
This is my scene now.
Do say that.
But I'm dating a comic.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I am too, so...
Yeah. But hey. Nice. You win. But I don't believe that. Like, any job that you have, you work well with somebody, you're going to date them.
Yeah.
You're around them. You learn
them. It's also kind of helpful. Bounce ideas off.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, do you think this joke's funny? I'm like, if I tell you no, you're not going to do it.
Well, for a lot of the times,
but
for me, it's the tell my boyfriend. I was like, you probably shouldn't say that as a white man.
Ooh,
just saying. And he's like, what? I was like, don't. Just trust me.
Right.
Probably shouldn't use like a black person getting framed for a crime they didn't commit as a punchline.
Ooh.
And he was like, oh, okay. Can I keep the rest of the joke? I was like, yeah, the rest of the joke's fine.
Awesome. Sweet. So let's see, what else do we got on our thing here? What is the worst thing about being a comedian?
Not getting paid when somebody says, hey, I'm gonna pay you.
Oh,
and and then it's like, professionally we're adults, so you don't go and badmouth that person. You don't go on Facebook, go so and so. Be an adult, approach that person, be like, hey, you say you're gonna pay me, you didn't pay me,
and then
right now I can understand if it was a financial situation, like with my situation, Eventbrite. So but I always make sure that I have a pot that I'll pay the comics out of, and then when Eventbrite pays me, I already have the money, put it back in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't like to wait. You don't know what else is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's good in services. We can't go to Walmart and be like, well, when Eventbrite pays me, I can pay you back. No.
Yeah.
You have to pay up at front.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some people that'll dick you around and be like, well, I'll pay you later. Or they try to forget that they owe you. And then turn around and want you to work with them again. You can't do that. You're not building a good rapport.
No.
You know? And then some people will bash you because they don't know or they're hurt. They don't, you never know. So professionally, I will let you know, but hey, you stole me. But if I like working with you and I know I'm going to get paid on the end, I might keep going. But after like three times, I'm out because it's not fair. You know?
No.
So if you, if pay what you owe.
Yeah.
Pay what you owe, you know?
What time does the show start tonight? Is it at 8?
Yes. 8-ish, I think. So some people from the festival can come down that were vendors and stuff. Yeah. Can make it down,
Okay, there's going to be vendors down there?
Yeah, there are vendors coming to watch your show, so.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So it might be 8-ish, I don't know, CP time? CP time.
Sure.
Colored people time.
I was about to say, wait, you lost me. Is that a Boise time? Remember, I'm not from here.
All right, and before we get out of here, is there any comedians that either of you would love to meet?
Hoo-wee.
Who would it be?
Wanda Sykes, Gina Yashir. She's funny. Okay, she's from London. Eddie Murphy, of course. I grew up in New Yorker. Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence.
Oh, Martin Lawrence.
Yes, love it's just so many.
I'll say this one weird off. Jimmy Fallon, so I can punch him in the throat.
Oh. In the throat? Why is that?
I don't like him.
You just hate him.
I don't know. It's something about his face.
You just hate him. Don't like your face.
I started to hate him once he was in Taxi.
Oh, hey.
What up? Am I interrupting?
No. Never. No such thing.
No, we've been talking about getting you on the podcast for a long time.
For a minute. And then they
pull up a chair. There's a chair right there.
Yeah, I don't have a fifth mic, but
we'll talk loud enough.
Set that in the middle there. Let's get.
He's all awkward.
Welcome.
Well, yeah. I had no idea this was happening.
What?
Yeah, we were excited. Yes, this is exactly what I do on my podcast, Tina.
There's a camera behind you, too, so your hair is all in it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Y'all got multiple angles. Hold on. Hold on.
His locks of love.
Okay. Cool. So on our way back from Reno, we were actually listening to your podcast.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, nice.
We were talking about the comedy festival and things like that. Who's headlining tonight? Was that
That'd
you?
Be okay, me. Yeah.
Picture at the bottom. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
me.
We saw you, about a month ago at Mad Sweet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that spot's been blowing up. The downtown place. Yeah. And I'm working over there too, so it's the day job
and the night job.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. So,
yeah. Are you doing any traveling right now for shows?
I don't have anything outside of Idaho scheduled right now, but I am trying to get out. I got a friend out in Chicago, and so the idea is to go visit them and then, hit up all the comedy spots out there. I have one connection from the Northwest Black Comedy Festival that I did out in Portland, KJ Whitehead.
So, KJ, I know her.
Yeah, you know her too?
Yes, I've done a lot of shows with her.
Once I got all my shit together and I'm about to go out there, I'm going to hit her up and see if she can point me the right direction. So that's the next move is to just sort of get out there on my own and start networking and stuff.
Sweet. Did you perform during the pandemic? Not that it's really over now, but...
We're in the weird gray area now. Yeah. Shit. I tried to keep it moving, and the lounge was, pivotal in that, they were, a great space. Not just for, pandemic rules enforced in-person shows, but also they have great studios here for Zoom shows and stuff.
Yes.
So the lounge really came in clutch with that and sort of allowed me to keep working throughout the whole.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on the Comic of the Month, like at the beginning.
Yeah. Watching it on Facebook. Absolutely. And, yeah.
We were so happy for that. We're like, at least something. You know, like, what do we do now?
Yeah. No, it was pivotal, and I definitely feel like that was super helpful to me to be able to keep working where a lot of comedians had to take like a whole year just to. Just to, you know,
took it off.
Yeah. And like, yeah. Yeah, no. And like, yeah, it's everybody had like their own stuff going on, but I just was like real happy that I still have a place to become.
Yes. I love those Zoom shows. I met so many people networking with Zoom shows. Yes, because it kept you fresh.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, they were talking shit about the Zoom shows. Oh, that's not real comedy. And I'm like, but you're sitting there watching Netflix specials.
Right.
So what's the difference? Yeah, exactly. You know?
I feel like the Zoom shows definitely give experience for having to deal with silence.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You couldn't hear.
Because I've only, like, kind of sat in one.
Yeah.
Since I have a tablet, I was like, this is awkward.
Yes.
I don't have anything to hold this tablet. So I'm just going to be that, like, unmarked square.
So you're watching like the clap emoji come in or the laugh emojis come in. So you're like, oh, I'm killing it. And then you're trying to do your set, but you're reading a chat and like, you know, you heckling me in the chat. How rude. But you keep it going. And so the Zoom shows were, it was great. Yeah. It was
what
great. It kept us going.
Shows? Did you guys?
What's wild is Boise didn't really start doing the outside shows until like recently.
Yeah.
Recently, a few comedians in town have been doing like Crystal Moore, to her credit, was doing outside shows here before anybody else in Boise was.
Yeah.
Her curbside comedy, her whole thing was. Yeah, and it's wild. She does a whole, she dresses in clown and like goes and will literally pull up to a curb and just do comedy, which is so brave.
It is.
Then we have a few other people. Emma Arnold in town is getting ready for her next album recording. So she's been doing some like private backyard shows.
Okay.
And then one of the comics on the WAP show here tonight, Sarah Raffaella, she's been doing, just started doing a backyard comedy show in her backyard. So the outside stuff is like just hitting Boise. You know, Boise's always a little bit behind everybody else. So
there was that one outside mic, but nobody really went to it.
Oh, yeah, there was Lost Grove outside, but then they started that like. Well, they started doing that up again because that was something we had before the pandemic, and they started doing that up again, like just I want to say a month or so before that crazy heat wave hit, and like it was just unbearable to be outside, so they were just like they slowly like phased it out. So you know, we'll see what happens over there, but you know.
Yeah. Two things I've actually been wanting to talk to you about.
Yeah.
One, when we saw you at the Crescent, this was pre-pandemic.
Oh, okay. Tampa,
talking about making omelets and flipping.
Oh, I have the omelet bit. I just did the omelet bit at Crescent. I was there like a couple Fridays ago, and I rebirthed that bit. Actually, what happened is I had a brunch show right before that. I was like, a brunch show? I have to do the omelet bit. I hadn't done the omelet bit in like a year. So I was like, oh, I got to bring it back. Yeah, so it's been coming back. Yeah.
No, and the thing I was like, I was thinking while you're telling this joke, I was like, don't flip an omelet.
Yeah.
It fall apart.
Yep.
Yeah, it always, it's never.
Yeah, you got to get the fold.
It's critical.
Hey. Oh, hey, it's Jackie. What's up?
I'm just going to hand that to you.
Okay.
What's your name?
We got one more. My name is Jackie Pearl.
Jackie Pearl, okay, you're a comedian.
I am. That's what they say.
That's what they say. Are you doing the WAP show tonight?
I am. Yeah. I did it last night too.
Sweet.
WAP, 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 WAP.
Women are funny. Yes.
This isn't the first time she's been in Boise.
Where are you from?
I am originally from Honolulu, and I moved to Sacramento, and I live there now.
Oh, okay. I'm from Vallejo.
Okay. Yeah, we're neighbors.
Oh yeah.
We're neighbors.
Is it Debbie Wooten?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you. Where are you from?
Originally from Chicago, but now in Portland.
Oh, okay, awesome. You came out for the Mixed and Misidentified show?
Yes, I'm very mixed and I need to identify.
Okay.
What's going on with me. Nice. And I think having this group session on stage is very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming out. Is this your first time to Idaho? Or you been
No, here I've been here several times.
Okay.
Yes, I spoke at the University of Idaho. And the keynote speaker.
Not only that, but in April, Debbie was our multi-headliner. She headlined Dark Brew and WAP when we came in April and did our first weekend of Suitman showcases.
Oh, awesome. Yes.
So that's what kind of set the stage for this. And most Idaho said they wanted to see her again. So we did this
and
again.
And they proved it. Sold out house last night.
Sold out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most of the people you work with said they want to see you again too, you know.
I know.
Yeah. Awesome. So what's your, do you have a style of comedy?
It's human.
Human comedy.
Yeah, it's human.
Okay.
It's about marriage, divorce, kids, grandkids, fat, skinny, rich, poor.
Yeah.
You know,
blowjobs,
all kind of stuff. Is this a church thing?
Sorry. No, you can cuss, you can say all the words.
Which one are you asking about? How long has she been doing blowjobs or comedy?
No, comedy. I hear the blowjobs.
Actually, I teach classes. I teach the young women how to keep their man.
Yeah.
You know,
and she's not talking.
I teach the
comedy.
Young mothers how to discipline their kids.
I've heard about those classes.
And I teach, that's what I teach. I'm an elder teaching the young people's things because, you know, I'm 65 years old now. So. I know I look 64, but you know.
Watch out. You know, we call white women cougars. That's a puma. Their talons are out. Watch out.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being here. What have you been up to, Dante? You've been on the show before.
We're bringing Deaf Comedy Jam, our show where we translate comedy for deaf people. Yeah. We're doing that in October. We got Craig Gass, who's what's called a CODA, a child of a deaf adult. And he's going to headline the show and do a whole show about talking about that. It's a weird perspective because if both your parents are deaf and you're hearing, how does that work? And like they did a show about the little
people.
How do
you discipline a kid if you can't yell at
Oh, you can yell. Just, you're still yelling. Because let me tell you, fucker, they're going to be laughing at the show. And it's funny you say that because like when we did Deaf Comedy Jam the first time, we had the guy on there and I had a guy in the audience and he was just looking at us. And every time I'd hear a joke, I'd hear this horrible laugh of, So after the second laugh, I went up there and asked, who's and he raised his hand. I was like, I'm going to need some more money. Yeah, you're laughing at every joke. I can tell. You're laughing at every joke. And then I'm looking at lining up a fully deaf opener. And then I'm partial deaf. So now we've got three different gradients of the deaf community. Somebody who's grown up around it, forced to be around it. And then like Craig does great impressions. And LJ kind of tests this. I'm pretty good at impressions myself, and it's because we only hear what we hear.
Yeah.
And if you didn't notice, I'm actually a little quieter this time, right? I got a hearing aid.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fucked up, too.
I didn't notice you being quiet.
Go fuck yourself. That's very white of you, buddy. All you guys are loud.
It's one or two octaves. It's not a major.
Hey, go fuck yourself. That's your white side telling them, too. But it was weird because, like, I went on a date, and at first I was sitting there, and the lady who's the black woman over the tie, so I could hear those old black ladies talking, and they looked over, and I said, oh, fuck, they heard me. So I took out my hearing aid, right? And then later I wasn't hearing too well, so I put it back in, and I heard this gurgling noise, and I look over, and there's this little kid, and the lady looks at me and says, oh, Johnny, stop. I said, no, it's okay. I just got a hearing aid. She said, oh, a couple months ago. I said, no, Sunday, and this was like Tuesday. She said, oh, I was like, yeah, it's weird. I like hearing him. I just heard the little fucker sucking with his straw. And then the mom looked away, and I said, why'd she look away? And my date was like, you just called her son a little fucker.
Nice.
The world is not an open mic, unfortunately.
It was funny, though. It was funny. But.
And just because you can't hear doesn't mean everybody else can't hear you.
And then we got some other great news. A public radio station, I think it's Central Coastal Media out of Oregon, picked up all the Suitman productions.
So
all our shows that I've ever recorded,
yeah,
I have the audio on. So our first show we did, Mixed and Misidentified Boise, was the first Suit Man showcase I submitted for comedy. Autastic Artist is now going to be on there every Sunday. Dayton with Disabilities aired last night on Central Oregon on radio.
That is fantastic.
That's your podcast, right?
Yeah. So everything we do, Suitman Productions, will now be on Central Oregon Radio. So if you're driving through Salem, hitting, I think it's 98.3 or 95.3, one of the two. Fuck, I should probably know that. But hit up one of those, and you can drive through Central Oregon, and you'll hear,
All right. I know you have a podcast, too. Anyone else in here with a podcast?
I do.
You do. What's yours called?
Tell us about
it's
it.
The here's Nighttime
Joe Gomez.
We got another one coming in.
Oh my God! Jeez.
Around the other backside. Yeah.
Round the river bend.
We got it.
Everyone.
He's Mexican. He's used to cramming everybody. He's like, there's nothing
on Instagram. Yeah.
All right.
Look, we got everyone else in here.
Yeah.
Is this the whole Mixed and Misidentified
showcase? I think we're all in the room right now.
This is the whole show right here.
Yeah.
Jackie's
squeezing everyone
plus
in.
A little bit of WAP. We had to bring a little bit of WAP in here.
Jackie's part cougar, part sarka mom. I guess that's how.
Yeah, I don't know what I am.
How long have you been doing comedy for?
About 4.5 years.
And what made you decide to get into it? Because what were you doing before that?
I have a degree in journalism. I was managing an anatomic pathology lab and a pharmacy. I divorced my husband and moved to California, and at the age of 52, decided to see if I was funny.
Yeah. Awesome. I was listening to your podcast, and I just wanted to ask you about your setup because you were bitching about your sound.
Oh, yeah. The worst jankety home setup of a podcast ever.
Okay, what are you working with?
I need to get some of these arms is what I need to get. I need the arms. And I just need a couple more mics because one of my mics is the first mic that I was working with. So I kind of abused it a little bit. And then I got my second mic, my backup mic, which is doing good work now. But I want to start bringing more guests on. Mm-hmm. So I need to start getting like a third, fourth, fifth mic. Y'all are running into a similar situation now. I need more mics, more mic arms. And right now I'm recording in my kitchen just because it's a very accessible area. My bedroom's a fucking mess, so you know I gotta get my life together a little bit, and hopefully one day I'll be able to set up my room to be a recording area as well as a living area. So that's the goal for the podcast, for that fucking podcast. Nice. So yeah. Podcast. Tell us about yours.
Yes, my podcast. Thank you. My podcast is called Nighttime Shenanigans with Sherita, and my podcast is live. So when I'm in El Paso, Texas, I'm working with Bina Lock Studios with my producer Luisa, and we do the podcast there. But when I'm on location, I use my phone and I'm streaming to 3 networks. I'm on my YouTube channel. I'm on my Facebook Live, of course, and also my Twitch because I'm a gamer. So, yes, and it's like
hit me with the Twitch channel. Yes, I'll follow you on Twitch.
Right,
and
so
watch
Tiger
Twitch.
Lily Twitch.
She's gonna be going live in about 20 minutes backstage in the green room. In about 20 minutes when we wrap Twitch, this up, she's gonna start going live with all these guys.
Exactly,
and giving the backstage persona. Yeah.
Yes, and I like going live because like I'm not cool with the sitting down editing. I don't have time for that, so I just do it live and it's in your face.
No, it's all
insulting.
That's
he's like, fuck your mic.
No,
fuck your editing.
That's one of the things I have a hard time with is learning the editing.
Yes.
You know?
It takes time.
Learning the editing is difficult. So I can understand wanting to just go live.
And
I
then
get
also
it.
When you have a podcast and you're trying to like be competitive with everybody else that has a podcast, it's like, well, what makes your podcast more different than this person's podcast? What makes it stand out? Exactly.
That's kind of the whole point.
And my podcast, what I do is I'm promoting you. So you come on my show, whatever you have going on, promote it. And then I take it and I make jokes. So you might get roasted, depending on what it is. Yeah, yeah. But or I just take a comedic take. Sometimes I don't have guests, and I have to do the show just me. So I wanted to talk about the behind the scenes of being a comedian, and it's just but gender neutral. It doesn't always have to be. Oh, I'm a female comedian. You should know with by my little A cups that yeah, I'm female. You know, so I shouldn't have to say that every time. But you know, what's fun? Oh, he's got A cups too. Yes.
Be quiet right now.
All right.
Joe Gomez.
Let's talk to Joe.
I've known this fucker for 25 years. We went to elementary school together, middle school and high school.
Really?
So it goes back. It's weird the first to even be on the stage together, let alone on the road together.
Yeah.
And then now he's doing Joke Daddy and starting to produce himself. Okay, I was on his podcast. So.
Oh, shit.
What's your podcast? It's Laugh With Me. I'm the anchor platform.
Okay. Yeah. So you're out there on Apple.
Yeah, so it does all the heavy lifting for us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Puts you on Google Podcasts.
Now, are you doing your own editing? Are you live?
I am doing my own editing. Okay, and I ran into some troubles doing the editing on like Zoom. During the pandemic, you know, we're doing some Zoom interviewing.
Yeah.
Trying to edit that down and put it on the format did not work.
Yeah.
But you know, that's just part of the troubleshooting. That's part of the experience. So
yeah,
we still put out the episodes and had a blast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did some Zoom stuff. I mean, I kind of like the Zooms. You know, so I was watching a little bit of your comedy. How long you been doing it for?
Was that how long have I been doing it?
Yeah.
3 years.
Did you say 10?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, 10 minutes. I've been doing comedy for 10 minutes.
Oh,
yeah.
Veteran.
Quite
superstar status.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, exactly. So who are your comedic influences?
Dante Barnett.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
No, that's my skin tone, brother. Thank you very much. Now, I look up to a lot of people, actually. Yeah. John Mulaney is actually one of my favorites, and I know
I like John Mulaney.
People like either hate him or love him.
Yeah,
and he's more my style.
I tell stories. Respect him. I feel like that's a good middle ground. Yeah,
I like his first special. I didn't like his TV show that much. So.
His TV show was kind of lame.
Yeah,
yeah, no, his specials have been great, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
So before we get off here, I got to give a shout out to somebody. I might not always agree or disagree, but half this lineup wouldn't be here without Nico Lukoff. He started a group called Displaced Comedians. It's
here.
He's
here.
Shouted out in weird places. It's a group on Facebook that pretty much brought together
Displaced Comedians.
It brought together a lot of people throughout the country who probably wouldn't even be around. Jackie wouldn't be here. Sharita
would be here.
Right.
I met Sharita and LJ through
Displaced
Comedians. We're not going to talk about that one.
Don't talk about it.
The best part is now that we're on the Displaced Comedians, we got internet beef and real beef. It's awesome.
Are you really a comic?
Oh, shit. Oh, is that where we're going? Is that what we're doing? I mean, I must be one hell of a comic. I got all kinds of shit. Never mind. Ask him.
It's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner.
But the best part about this is we bring together, I think what we're doing here in between, especially with LJ and Sarah and Bree and Tilly and some of the things Reese is doing and Tina and even Haley and some of the other comics, they're bringing me enough people to bolster what I'm bringing in town.
Awesome.
And so you're getting a blend of the natural comics, but the local comics and the local talent that's rising.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to bring in a veteran and a queen and a princess and all those things like Debbie Wooten. And then still bring in the newer crew.
Have you been on TV?
Yeah.
You look familiar.
What movie's coming out now? Tell us about that movie.
September 17th, the movie Christmas Freak will be
Christmas
out.
Freak? Okay.
And it'll be going to be opening in Portland at McMinnon's for a whole week. And then you probably go right to Netflix. My first movie, The Pony Man, where I co-starred with Dennis Moore. And they were just looking for a middle-aged black woman. I show up with braces and a scooter and everything. I lay in the park.
I got you.
But anyway, it's on a video Prime, or Prime Video. How you say
Amazon
it?
Prime. Okay.
Yes, it's got five stars, so you can look at it right now.
What's the name of it again? Give us the name one more time.
The Pony Man.
The Pony Man. Man. Okay, we'll have to check that out. All right, well, let's get out of here. I want to thank everyone for being here.
Yes, thank you.
This is lovely. Absolutely.
Hot diggity.
Hey, before we go, we got to shout out one more person, actually a whole group of people. Coral. Jen, Monica, John, Matt, who else we got? Brian, the rest of the fucking staff.
Jen,
yes! We wouldn't be doing any of this
without them.
Yes.
Holler.
The lounge at the end of the universe.
The lounge at the end of the universe.
Toasted marshmallows.
We love you guys.
Some bad productions.